He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek edition. It is May the 18th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We've also got chartered financial analyst Barry Kite on board today. And I'm going to start with the story here today. Really a stunning miss of earnings, and I think we're really starting to see the impact of inflation. We saw it yesterday with Walmart. Walmart was down 10% yesterday. You know, it's, consider that these companies are already low-margin companies, and you start pushing those costs up higher, and they're getting squeezed. But today it is Target. It's just a stunning report out of Target. Target is down 26% right now. That is quite shocking. And that is pretty much the big reason why you've got the Dow down 436 points today. Pretty much giving back everything it made yesterday and then some. The Dow is holding 32,000, however. It's at 32,218. The S&P is holding 4,000. The S&P had a great day yesterday, a lousy day today. It's down 1.5%, down 62 points, 4,026. The NASDAQ has improved a little, but it's still down 185 points, 11,800. The small cap's taking it on the chin. They're down 1.4%. Crude oil is up 12 cents. I would say that's probably a little bit of the problem there at Target and rising cost. Gold is down $7.70. Silver's down 19 cents. The 10-year is at 2.97. That's the last print I see. And Bitcoin, how's Bitcoin doing here today? Bitcoin is down $1,100 to $29,350. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I'm gonna argue both sides of this story here today. Okay, yesterday we saw Walmart with a big miss, and you know it's rising cost, whether it's transportation cost, delivery cost, input cost, labor cost, it's all affecting these companies. And today, just a stunning miss by Target, and that stock is down 25%. Now, I'll just give the other side of that story. TJ Maxx, on the other hand, which isn't as big as Walmart or Target, but maybe it's the grocery business that's hurting them. I don't know. TJ Maxx, on the other hand, is having a fantastic day. It's up 11% today. So what do you think? Why is TJ Maxx up today and Walmart and Target? I mean, Target is just getting bludgeoned today.
No, I mean, that's a pretty shocking move for Target. I think the last time I remember them taking a beat like that is, you remember when they had the information or credit card breach.
Yeah.
And it took them a couple of years to actually recover from that. And, I think really what it has to do is when you look at the number of people that are employed, right? I mean, take a look at Walmart. I think I sent you a note this morning. Go through Amazon, Walmart, and Target, and look how many people together that they employ. So employment costs are very expensive. I think with Target, they said their supply chain cost came in $1 billion higher than they expected.
Wow.
And that's getting everything you just said, right? That includes transportation cost, what it cost to make the product, you know, what it takes the product cost to get the product, you know, to the store or to you.
I think labor's a big deal too. Just trying to get people to work these days, they're having a hard time.
Well, they employ more, productivity is lower, costs are higher in terms of wages, and you know, I'll be honest, when I'm in the store, like, you know, any of those places, you know, I don't think the service level is increased based on their labor cost, right?
No way.
You know, it's actually hard. I think, I don't know, it seems like it's harder to find.
They're understaffed, all of these stores, but
right.
They're having to pay more to attract people to come and work.
Mm-hmm. And you look at TJ Maxx, the other thing is for TJ Maxx, I'm sure they had some kind of lower comps or that they were going against because, you know, for a while there, you know, they use overstock, right, as, you know, items that they sell. And for a period of time there, right, with supply chain crunch, there wasn't a lot of overstock for them to get. And so now, you know, they've gotten, some of their inventory back. And they don't have, you know, certainly quite as much overhead in terms of, certainly not in terms of staff and everything else from their perspective. But
well, you know, this is one of those listen to your wife moments here. My wife, I don't know, maybe a month ago, she says, "Bill, do you own Home Goods?" I said, "No, that's TJ Maxx." And I mean, TJ Maxx has been hitting new lows recently. She says, she just loves shopping at Home Goods. She says it's crowded all the time. And, of course, TJ Maxx, they're probably crediting Home Goods stores for their big hit today. So they're up 11%. But, you know, at some point, you got to say that this has to be passed on to the consumer at some point, which just puts upwards pressure. I just don't see inflation going away anytime soon. Because all of the costs that are rising for Walmart, Amazon, now a Target stores, they're going to have to raise their prices.
Well, in the product mix too, right? So you've got, you know, you get the difference between where, you know, at Walmart, for example, they took a 10% hit, which I think is one of the biggest drops they've taken, you know, since maybe the early 80s or late 80s, some wild number, but. From their perspective, right, I mean, they've got options to trade down, right, if you're at the store, right, and you want, you know, instead of buying, you know, Kraft macaroni and cheese, right, you can, you know, they've got their own in-house Great Value, right, they've got their brand you can kind of trade down to. Target, on the other hand, you know, they've kind of placed themselves right in that kind of, a little bit more, higher end side of things. And so, you know, naturally, right, well, you know, if you're from their perspective and business model, then, you know, they're gonna you know, if they have a miss, right, they're gonna take, you know, more of a hit, right, than a Walmart.
But, yeah, well, now look at the collateral damage, and your theory there is holding true, because you go up the line a little bit to a little bit more luxury and quality stuff. Look at the collateral damage in Costco today. Costco is a Teflon-coated stock. It just hits new highs. It doesn't matter what the P.E. ratio is. It doesn't matter what inflation is doing. It doesn't matter what the GDP looks like. Costco is getting hammered today. It's down 9.4% on 7 times normal volume. So, you know, I don't believe Costco has any news today. I think it's just getting caught up in the collateral damage here, because they have the same cost problems and issues that TJ Maxx has, or that Target and Walmart have. So, you know, we've been warning. We've been talking about the areas of the market to avoid, which is critical. I mean, that's mission number one, to avoid the places where the pitfalls are, the landmines are. And we've been warning, you know, we've been up on the watchtower yelling down to the folks, avoid the consumer, the retail stocks, because they are right. They're going to get the brunt of inflation. And boy, you should have shorted. I see one of the leading inverse ETFs today, SCC, which is short the consumer services. There's some others too. that are inverse the consumer and retail stocks. That's probably a good inverse fund to be looking at right now. This is really the first time that the hammer has dropped. I mean, the consumer remains strong. That's not the problem. But the stores that are selling to the consumer, they're getting squeezed. And eventually, the dominoes will start to fall. You know, they're going to raise the prices at TJ. They're going to raise the prices at Walmart. Inflation's going to, and then you're going to start to see demand destruction. And the consumer say, ah, you know what? Nationwide gas right now is $4.56 per gallon. You know, I can't buy that, some of those things that they've got at Walmart now and TJ Maxx, Target. Anyways, a lot of collateral damage. This is not a good sector to be in. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's just go back to yesterday for a moment. Okay, yesterday the market, the Dow was up 431. Today it's down 447. So what we gained yesterday, we're giving up today. I would say yesterday the catalyst was news that China is starting to open back up. That was probably the biggest news, and that really set fire to the market. The S&P was up 80 yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 322. And then, of course, today you've got the Dow down 450 right now. The NASDAQ's down 188. It hasn't given up everything it made yesterday, but giving up a big chunk of it. And it seems to be mostly, I'm going to blame Target. And Walmart, you know, this is the second day in a row. It was Walmart yesterday, which was down about 10%. They had the same issues, and those problems were magnified at Target. You know, here's another reason. Well, okay, couple. The national average for gas right now is $4.56. I don't know what a diesel is. I mean, diesel impacts the retail and the delivery and the shipping cost a lot more. I think diesel's probably about a buck higher than that. Here's another group of stocks that's moving today. The shipping stocks. Frontline, Euronav, Golar, ASC, etc. That's another big problem, is the shipping of the goods, whether it's from China to the U.S. and then from the U.S. ports to the final destinations, and then, of course, Amazon has to deliver the product. Fuel is a big problem. It's a big, big problem. It's probably the biggest problem in the inflation issue. And then the second biggest problem is the cost of the goods and labor. It's all bad. There's nothing good there. Labor wages continue to rise. And that is also hurting these low margin retailers. I gotta believe that the McDonald's of the worlds and the Wendy's of the worlds, and even Chipotle, they're gonna have the same issues, Barry. I can't see them avoiding that.
Oh, I mean, you would think. I know. For example, when diesel prices go up, shipping costs go up, you know, they begin to put essentially a surcharge right on a box of Whoppers or a box of, you know, Big Mac patties, whatever. It's really just a flat rate, right? Per, you know, they do it per box. So those expenses are going up, going to go up. I had some gas numbers written down for this morning. I think yesterday was the first time ever, I think, that the average gallon of gas was $4 in every state.
Every state.
Every state. It was at least $4. California over six. I saw somewhere
six.
It was seven. And I forget what you would know the town.
Hawaii.
I have to look it up. Hawaii is at five. So Hawaii, we've got a lot of listeners in Hawaii. So when I saw the number there, Hawaii's over $5 a gallon. But even broke out the old, our listeners will have to look this up because I can't explain it all. Certainly not on the rate. Didn't make good radio. The 3-2-1 crack spread. You remember that? Three barrels of, oil, creates two barrels of gas and one barrel of distillate or diesel.
I never heard of that one before.
And that spread now is $50. And so your refiners are the ones who are actually making the money.
Okay. I was going to get into that, later in the show. The refiners are cooking right now.
So look, listeners, look that one up. Like I said, I haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen those numbers in a while. And I haven't, I remember it from, years ago. And it's back, but the spread on that is, probably, I think it's probably the biggest spread it's ever been.
Wow. So. Well, here's the narrowest spread here. Gross margins for Target fell from 30% to 25%. Okay, so those are direct costs. Those are not overhead costs. These are direct costs that you cannot really cut direct costs. You have to eventually pass that on to the consumer. That is a big hit. To their margins, they had their margins dropped from their gross operating income dropped from $2.4 billion to $1.3 billion. And they are blaming, they are blaming freight, supply chain disruptions, and increased compensation and headcount in the distribution centers.
Yeah, so there you go. It's labor. I mean, the two things there are energy costs, gas, and labor.
Yeah.
And
that's okay, Lowe's, on the other hand, you know what? They did okay. They're down 2% today. Home Depot did okay yesterday also. I think they have the ability to pass it on to the consumer because I paid through the nose for hydrangeas this year. I can't believe it, how much to get for a 2 gallon plant these days.
Yeah, luckily those are perennials, so hopefully they'll grow back. They'll be healthy next year. You don't have to replace them.
No, and I'm going to start making cuttings and growing my own. And, if the market goes bad, I can sell hydrangeas from a little booth in front of my house. The White House suggests to the Europeans to continue buying Russian oil. Okay, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. The G7, they're going to boycott. Why would you buy oil from a guy who is annihilating a country and wants to move and annihilate other and is threatening all of Europe? This makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. Oh, continue buying oil from this guy. Well, you know what? They're also, I get mad sometimes, Barry. They're also telling Chevron, go ahead, negotiate licenses with the Venezuela oil company. When Canada is up there saying, we can boost oil output by 900,000 barrels per day. That's what the Alberta premier told senators yesterday. He was in Washington yesterday talking to the senators. He's got to be thinking, why are you looking to Iran? Why are you saying to continue buying Putin's oil? Why are you even talking and negotiating with Venezuela when you've got Canada right here? We can boost output by 900,000 barrels per day. Well, a lot of that is that stupid pipeline up there that, that they will not open and will not complete. So anyways, Canada could pretty much, they would make up. That would make up. What is Russia? What are we using from Russia? 900 million barrels per day.
It's really not as much as 1.2% or so, I think, of our oil.
Yeah, it's not that much, and Canada can pick up the slack there and tell Europe to tell Putin to stick it in his right ear. But you know what? Because of all the different ideology and political things, and this group to pay back and this group to appease, we get a policy like this, which absolutely makes no sense. Well, on the other hand, when we come back, We got a lot of individual stocks to talk about. The return of China, too. That's just going to put more crimp on the supply chain and drive commodity prices up again. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, the retail stocks are just getting taken to the cleaners, whether it's Costco, even Dollar Tree down 10%. You know, Dollar Tree's got the same issues, very thin margins. You know, any rise in their cost, it's difficult in some cases to pass that on to the consumer, but it seems like it's inevitable that it will have to be passed on to the consumer.
And I want to go back to reported yet. By the way, I think that's
This is collateral damage.
Yeah, they may not have reported yet, and people are just like, Costco's
down 10% today, and they haven't. It's just collateral damage. Okay, I want to go back to Calgary just for a minute. My best friend, the co-creator of the Best Talks Now app, Douglas Apperl. He's from Calgary. I'm rooting for Calgary in the Stanley Cup this year, but. They had the Canadian government, yesterday the premier of Alberta visited and spoke and testified before Congress. That's Jason Kenney. He said that the country could raise oil exports via pipeline by 300,000 barrels a day. He said another 200,000 barrels could be shipped by rail. And technical improvements from midstream companies could add as much as 400,000 barrels per day. So that would be 900, almost a million barrels per day coming from our friends to the north. The concept of North American Energy Alliance is manifestly in the interest of both the U.S. and Canadian people. Absolutely. Okay, now in the meantime, He is saying it's essential to maintain the operation of Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline. Okay, that goes through Michigan, and the state of Michigan is trying to shut that pipeline down. He says to stop the current operation would jeopardize energy security for the entire upper Midwest. So because Michigan, probably Governor Whitmer, trying to shut down that pipeline, would jeopardize the entire upper Midwest. Okay, so that would take, if that were to happen, that would take supply down, not up. He also criticized, now this is Kenny from Alberta, so I mean obviously it's in his best interest to promote Canadian oil. He also criticized President Biden's decision to revoke a key permit for the Keystone XL pipeline and urged lawmakers to consider a new major U.S. export pipeline project. So anyways, you know, there's Calgary right there saying we can replace the oil from Russia, and here's how we can do it with a very specific plan. But it's an uphill battle. I see very little appetite for increasing North American energy production.
And if you can't get energy, if you can't get energy prices under control or somewhat, at least somewhat tame, right? I mean, you're gonna be. I mean, it's almost impossible to get inflation down to where you want it to be. I mean, look at UK's inflation number came in earlier today and. Up 9%. Yeah, 9% year-over-year inflation, 40-year high for them, which is, most of that was energy, was in the energy.
And, this bills. Hurts the lower and middle class the most. I mean, who shops at Walmart? Who shops at Target? Who goes to Dollar Tree and whatnot? It's just ridiculous that we're... letting inflation run wild. I know they want higher oil prices, so we go and buy electric cars. You know what? we don't have the electric cars to buy yet. We don't have the infrastructure yet. So anyways, we'll just have to watch this, how it all progresses from here. New York City reaches high COVID alert level. Indoor masking urged in New York City. Okay. Is COVID coming to America again? Look at the shutdowns they had in China. And, of course, China is starting to open up again. Apple postpones plans to have employees return to the office 3 times a week. The employees are probably happy. They don't have to buy gas, California gas. What did you say, the average?
I think it's over six is the average.
What was the town you said?
I'm trying to remember the town. There's one, and you, because you would know it.
I know
them
all.
There's one county or town that's where it's $7 a gallon. I'll find it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's up in Northern California somewhere. Okay, in the meantime, now that China is starting to come back online very slowly, yesterday, copper prices started to move higher in fact, the materials stocks were really in play yesterday. So this is a whole nother piece of the inflation equation. That's the material cost. You know, natural gas creates a lot of products. We know what's happened to fertilizer prices. That ties into food prices. That ties into inflation. That ties into decreasing margins at Target. How much fresh produce does Target sell? How much fresh produce does Walmart sell? The produce prices are going up. Wheat prices are going up. Corn prices are going up. So it's a problem, and energy seems to be kind of at the core of it all. And the supply chain and wages. This is an interesting stat that I saw yesterday. Look, I saw the meltdown in the year 2000 of the dot-com bubble absolutely imploded. And by the time it was over, the NASDAQ was down 80%. Well, the NASDAQ's down about 22% so far. But you go into the innovation funds, they're down 70%. The moonshot funds, the innovative fund this, innovative fund that, they're down 70 to 80%. And I warned about all those subpar IPOs that were coming out. The IPO market has absolutely, you know, it's now down 60%. There's an ETF called IPO. And it hit 77 back last year. It's hitting 30 today. The average IPO that's come out over the last couple of years is now down 60%. So, yeah, the S&P's only down 16% this year. But you go to other areas of the market, like SPACs, like recent IPOs, like innovation stocks, electric cars.
Rivian. I mean, Rivian.
Oh my
IPO'd around early November, around the 10th, I believe, and from its high closing price. It's not even the intraday high. It's actually would be worse if you looked at intraday, but down 83%, and they're up, and they're actually up 5% today. So that number, just starting the day was at down 88%. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's it.
You know, and these guys that were buying all of this stuff, they call Warren Buffett a grumpy old beyond a boomer. Like, he's beyond a boomer, and he continues to make money, you know, in the low PE stocks. Well, these things just are getting crushed. Okay, the IPO ETF, some of their biggest holdings are Uber, Snowflake, CrowdStrike, Datadog, Zoom Video. Those are some of the better ones. Okay, they became large positions in that IPO fund because they did pretty well for a long time, but now they're just absolutely getting crushed. Fund managers, and I would say we fit into this boat here. Fund managers hold the most cash since 9/11.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. That's.
And I would also say this is true of us, most underweight in tech in 15 years.
Yeah, and don't forget that most of those managers are constrained, so they, you know, they, most of them can only hold, you know, at most say 20% cash, and they're still at their highest.
Well, I'm just going to look real quickly here at our cash level. 30% around in there. 30% cash, along with
some inverse too. Yeah.
With some heavy positions in inverse funds, which obviously are doing very, very well today, as we've picked on a lot of areas that we felt were vulnerable this year. So yeah, we're 30% cash, and there's no way that we our tech exposure is maybe 5%. 10 at the most.
Yeah, bread and butter tech, too.
Yes, and it's bread and butter tech. All right, let's see what else we got. I thought that was... Well, here's... We'll close on this for this segment. Kathy Wood purchases another 4 million shares of Ginkgo Bioworks. This is a stock that has gone from 16 down to 2. And she continues to back up the truck and load up. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And we continue on the roller coaster ride called Wall Street again this week. We had a down or an up 400-point day yesterday. At least they're not 1,000 points. There for a couple weeks there was 1,000, up 1,000 one day, down 1,000 the next. The volatility has eased up a little. It's down 400 or up 450 yesterday, down 540 today. And yesterday it seemed to be the China kind of coming back online slowly that really got the market going. Also, China said that they were going to support their internet and technology companies. I'll believe that when I see it. But that's what they said, and that boosted their stocks, and it kind of lit a fire under our stocks yesterday. And then today, Walmart reported, that was the bad news yesterday on the retail side of things. But Target is even worse news today. And that's crushing the market right now with the major shrinkage of margins at Target being blamed on higher costs across the board. Labor, fuel, transportation, shipping, input costs, just across the board, okay? So I don't see any hope for inflation anytime soon. Jerome Powell didn't say anything new yesterday. They're prepared to continue to hike rates until they get inflation under control. All right, so there's a couple of stocks here jumping off the page. The first one is Empty, E-M-T-Y. That is an exchange traded fund, which it's just one time, it's not leveraged, which seeks the it's inverse the return of the retail store index. Empty is up 6.7% today. I know there's also a twist on Empty. I can't remember what it is. It's something to do with the online retailers. It may not be the purest play against retail. There's a few others. I know SCC is one. Let me just look real quickly here, see if there's another direct inverse fund against the retailers. I have all these inverse funds in one file here, in one group of charts that I can look to very, very quickly, and I would guess that they'd be the biggest winners here today. Yeah, I guess Empty is a pretty pure play on inverse retail. So that one, the symbol is E-M-T-Y, E-M-T-Y, Empty. So, yeah, okay, that's betting against Target and Walmart and Dollar Tree and all those.
Yeah, and Dollar Tree, by the way, they're down as much as they're down. They don't report until May 26th, so they've got 8 days.
How about Costco? What does Costco report like?
I want to say, and see, to me, Costco's much more insulated because in reality, right?
You would think
they
so.
They make their money off the membership itself, but yeah. Of course, their other costs are going up. I'll find when they report it.
Okay, so yeah, SCC and Empty are the two bets against the two inverse funds that are inverse retail. Okay, the other one, we have one of the biggest winners on the upside today, and I'm not sure why. Olympic Steel. I saw the steel stocks yesterday and the copper stocks yesterday. They had a very good day. There must be some specific news to Zeus, Z-E-U-S. We own that in our emerging growth portfolio. Barry, that stock's up 10.3% today.
Yeah, and China's the more we get reopening, right, from China, then the more, I think that's why some of the steel stocks and copper names kind of bounced a little bit yesterday. Yeah, Costco reports on the same day, May 26th, and they're down over 10% at the moment, so.
Okay.
It's pretty much what we refer to as kind of a revaluation of that entire sector today is what
it
looks like.
Okay, Zeus, like I say. Now, there's one. The relative strength is 96. The P.E. ratio is 3. 96 to 3. I think that's the biggest gap
that's a pretty big one we've seen so far
between relative strength and P.E. ratio.
And they're up 10% today.
There's got to be news. Look that up on the CK.
Yeah, the last main piece of news was when they reported back in May 6th. They're pretty under.
That's strange. Okay,
they're an underreported name. They're a small stock, so they don't get they don't get as much lucrative coverage as the Nucors of the world.
Because I'm not seeing the other steel stocks up. Nucor is
basically flat on
the day. Okay, the fourth one that I'm going to mention here is a shipping stock, TRMD. And I'll disclose that I own just a little bit of this in my little play portfolio that I keep in my drawer that my wife doesn't know. Only I have the key. TRMD is TORM. That's a UK-based company that carries refined oil products. With a fleet of 75 vessels. Okay, that's a sweet spot. You got to transport this oil, if it's being produced in Canada and all of a sudden Europe's going to say, we'll take your oil and gas, Calgary. It's got to go across the ocean. And here's a company that has 75 vessels. Now, this carries refined oil products, gas. Whether it's liquid natural gas or whether it's unleaded, whether it's diesel, this stock's hitting a new high today, $13.07. It's $970 million. It's not even a billion-dollar company. I just found it one day looking through my A-plus momentum list, and when I read what they do, I said, that's a sweet spot. And in the shipping sector, 197 stocks in that sector. It's ranked number 15 by MarketSmith. It has a relative strength of 98, and its forward PE is about $6 per share. All right, TRMD. So those are the four we'll mention today, jumping off the page. Well, inverse funds doing well today. We continue to be pretty well stocked there. I beefed up a little bit last week. When the indexes did not hold those key support levels, I had loosened up a little prior to that. When they didn't hold, I beefed up those inverse funds once again, and they're holding up quite well here. They're doing quite well today. All right, give us a call if you want to discuss your portfolio, 855-611-BEST, or get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show.
Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.